SWR, an official EDXC radio, broadcasting on 25 and 48 meter bands. Scandinavian Weekend Radio.
My name is Risto Vähäkainu, and I have the great pleasure of welcoming you to Vaasa, to this joint meeting of the Finnish DX Association and the European DX Council. And I hope you will all have a good stay here and you will enjoy the conference. And as the chairman of the organizing committee of the program of this conference, I have decided to put the most important speaker to be the first one. That's myself. So I will get my job done at least on this way. I am going to tell you a little bit about the last 50 years or the old 50 years of our club, the history. This is briefly a presentation that it doesn't go deep in details, and it covers some things I've been telling before in some EDXC conferences, and then I have added some new material. But first of all, I am going to promote you new book we have made. So here is something about our club anniversary matters. The club was founded in January 1958. So this year in January, about 60-65 DXers gathered in Helsinki to have an anniversary meeting and a party in a very nice restaurant, and it was a very nice, memorable evening we had there. We had a lot of old-timers who are not with the club anymore, but they wanted to share their memories and come over to talk about how this club has been and what is right now. And now we are just starting the jubileum meeting here in Vaasa, which will be the whole weekend. And I'm pretty sure that you're going to enjoy it. But one of the main things that we have prepared for this meeting and for the whole club is the history book. And those of you who have studied your conference manual, this yellow publication, DX Jääkäri, it is the name in Finnish, and it tells about the Ostrobothnian DXers in this area. And that publication in the agenda tells that this book will be publicized at about 8 o'clock, so we have still about 100 minutes to go. But I will give you a brief lookout. Looks like this. So, big book, 200 pages, and full of great stuff. And all in Finnish. Enjoy. I'm sorry to tell that we had to print it in Finnish, no other way. Yes. And in the reception, you also got this magazine, our monthly magazine. And the recent issue came out about a week ago, and there is an English summary of the book and the history of 4 pages, which I translated from the book. The author of the book, Heikki Aarevaara, should be here in an hour or so, I hope. He's still on the way. But when he's here, he will present a little bit about the book, and then it will be available in our DX service for €25. And if you want, you can get also Heikki's autograph to that copy of yours. I hope he doesn't mind this. I didn't tell him about this. But I'm sure he will do that if you want. Yeah, and the book is called On the Right Frequency at the Right Time, like DXers do. Okay, let's briefly take a look at a bit of Finnish DX history. So, In Finland, it started through the Swedish-speaking clubs because the Swedish-speaking people had more contacts to Sweden and to Western world in general, and so that was the start about. I usually say here at this point that DXing, like all the bad habits, came from the West. Yeah. And in 1954, the Swedish DXers had organized activities. They founded a club called Helsingfors DX Club, which then was later changed to Finland's DX Club. And there's a very big popular technical magazine called Tekniikan Maailma in Finland and Teknikens Värld in Sverige, in Sweden. And they used to have DX columns and shortwave columns in the 50s. And those columns were very active, and they made contests in Sweden and then also in Finland in 1957. And that contest was pretty much the start to the founding of the Finnish-speaking club, which was founded then with the name DX Kerho Suomi, DX Club Finland, in January 1958. And that was the start of the Finnish-speaking club, which is now the Finnish DX Association, Suomen DX Liitto. Well, in the early years, the club grew only a little bit, and they had problems with their people. There were not enough volunteer guys, all were young guys who had to do their military services, had to study and put up their families and so on. But luckily, in about mid-60s, the club began to grow up very quickly. And for the medium wave DXing, which is nowadays one of the highlights, main topics in Finnish DXing, the Solar Minimum 1963 was quite a kick. There had been medium wave DXing before, but it helped a lot. There were, you could with home equipment hear quite a lot of distant medium wave stations. And the club went up to a offset printed magazine in 1967, and that was also a very important step at the history. And at that time, quite a lot of new members came to the club because they wanted to hear pop music, and the Sea Pirates were everywhere in Europe at that time, and they were very important, especially in the United Kingdom and the English Channel and so on. And one of the most important points in the club history is that I joined it in 1968. Almost 40 years ago, in December 1968, I sent out my first reception report. And I'm still here after 40 years. I enjoy the hobby. I hope you do too. Okay, the club grew, and we went up to 100,000 members and so on. Founded on a separate DX service, and we arranged together with our summer meeting, the EDXC meeting in 1971 in Jyväskylä, about the equipment. The trio receivers were at that time very popular. They were good on medium wave, and they were widely used within our members. And at that time, someone invented a thing called digital frequency counter, which was very good with trio and home receivers and smaller, cheaper communication receivers because they didn't have exact scale. So that was a good help to the hobby too. And the expeditions to Lapland started around that time, and we're going to talk more about those later in this conference. And there's a lot of them in the book, and of, also there's an article in this magazine about the Lemmenjoki DX Shack, which is very important for our club members. And we got enough money even to get a clerk, a paid clerk to our club part-time. And at the end of 1970s, we had 2,000 members, which was quite fine. And a lot of local clubs, they had little bulletins and so on. A lot of activities at that time. And we reached our top in 1983, about 2,300, a little bit more members. And then it slowly started to decrease, which is still doing. And the Lemmenjoki Impertinent, the expedition camp place, is founded in 1982. And we could turn out our clerk to be full-time on those days. And a very big meeting, perhaps the biggest EDX meeting in Europe and maybe even the world ever, was the EDX Korpilampi in Espoo near Helsinki, about 300 participants. So at that time we really had much more folks in the hobby. But I'm still happy and proud that we have 100 and more today coming to this conference. So this is quite a good result anyhow. 5 years later, we put up another EDXC meeting, which was in Tampere, the second city of Finland. And even that was attended by more than 250 people. So it was a great meeting as well. And the 80s and 90s, they were very good for the growth of the FMDXing, because in Europe, the radio monopoles had gone down, and local radio stations were coming up everywhere, and most of them were on FM. And in the mid-90s, I took together with my good friend Arto Mujunen, who is, I suppose, he's there in the back row, good, yeah. We took over the European DX Council for a few years to try to put a little bit activities in that, and it took about five years to stay there as Secretary General and the Assistant Secretary General. And I don't know if this organization has ever been so important in European DXing, but it still exists and works, and it organizes these conferences, which I find very good, and I wish good future for the organization. And we will be talking about later in this conference about the council and its future, and also the future of DX clubs in Europe. Okay, 6 years ago, quite many of you came up to Pori for another EDXC meeting, about 150 participants, excellent weather, go-go, sand beaches, and a good conference. Well, the memberships are declining, and the members are getting older. It's very difficult to get young people more to attend the hobby. But we are now here in Vaasa to have this jubileum meeting of our club and the EDXC 2008. A few issues about what DX in Finland today is. We feel that we are one of the leading medium-wave clubs in the world. We still have maybe 650 or something members today, and we cover pretty much all DX modes. We published a magazine, which I think looks pretty good out. This year we could even add some color pictures to it and so on. Goes well. We have the electronic bulletin, the exclusive. We have a website. We have information in the YLE Tech television in Finland. And I want to point out, of course, internet is maybe the most efficient tool in pretty much all things today. And in DXing, it gives very, very kinds of helps to all DXers. And I list here just three portals that are loosely connected to our club and are very good sources of information. HardcoreDX.com is driven by our good friend Risto Kotalampi, who is a Finn but lives nowadays in Hayward, California. And his portal has a lot of good DX information and email lists, and also features the online log, which is a very good tool for sending out loggings and tips. The dxing.info is a portal by Mr. Mika Mäkeläinen, another active member of our club. And even he is nowadays living in the United States, as he lives near Washington, as he works as a YLE correspondent in Washington. He should be there at least in either 1 or 2 years, I don't know. And too bad that both Risto and Mika are missing from this conference, but it's not easy to come there for just a meeting. And a very good portal for hardcore medium-wave listening is the Northern Hemisphere DX listeners. I don't have the exact URL for that now, but we can make it up later if anybody needs it. About receivers, you know that top DXers have been using NRDs and other communication receivers like ICOMs and AORs and so on for a long time. And now the growth of the users of the SDRs, the software-defined radios, has come quite popular. And we will be hearing a presentation about them tomorrow. And in international listening, the portable world receivers, Sony's, NCN, Ethon, and so on, they are popular. We got some Grundigs here in the DX service for a very good price, so check yours. AM broadcasting in Finland today is quite limited, as while, as you know, YLE sees the shortwave about 18, 19 months ago, and then finally closed the last AM transmitter at the end of last year, so there's no AM for YLE today. And there's still the Pori Transmitter Center. It's owned by a company called Digita. They are trying to sell airtime, but I don't know how it's working today. And I've heard that there have been some talks about that they might even dismantle the transmitter center in a few years from now, but I don't know really about this. Anyway, those of you who attended the Pori meeting paid a visit to that center, and you surely remember it. But we have the Scandinavian Weekend Radio, which broadcasts once every month, starting also tomorrow or in a, what is it, 5-6 hours from now. These gentlemen are from SWR and they know better. And I think we don't have any DRM in Finland, and even in Europe it's very little so far, so that's not a problem. What has changed in this hobby? In the 50s, it was young boys who were looking for music and looking for exotic things. You know, there were no television, no traveling, and so on. The only thing you can travel is for radio waves. In the 60s, we got more and more members, guys like me, who went to school at that time and wanted to hear pop music. And Radio Luxembourg was a very important source, and of course, the Sea Pirates. In the 70s, we still got a lot of newcomers, and we had still some old-timers who were more and more experienced. And the status of the hobby and then the technical knowledge grew up all the time. In the 1980s, we had quite a lot of newcomers. As I said, the top was in 1983. And it has been discussed a lot of what are the main reasons why it turned down. Of course, DXing is not so exotic anymore. Everybody can travel pretty much everywhere, and television shows you films of exotic places all the time. But then the home PCs were introduced, and that was maybe the biggest issue in this. Also, the European radio monopoles were shot quite a lot, and local radios came up everywhere. So we in Finland have about 50 or 100 stations. I don't know what's the amount today. About the 1990s, I could say that the internet, of course, the big thing. then, and it's even bigger now. I mentioned desktop publishing because it was very important to our club and to many other organizations as well. It helped to cut down the printing costs and help with the editing, and you didn't need to, you could do the layout very easily with that. And we've been using it for about maybe 15 years now, I think. At least 10, yeah. And for top DXers, the listening became more and more professional. And I can say that nowadays, medium wave is a very tough sport, medium wave DXing, and there's always a lot of competition between the listeners as well. International shortwave is clearly decreasing, you know, you all know that. Some stations go to other coverage methods like satellites and internet, but quite many stations close their international services completely, which is very sad for our side. And I don't know, but looks like DRM will perhaps never come. It's been so slow with the introducing of that. A couple of issues why medium wave is still very important, and it is even getting better in some cases, is that European powerhouses are closing. They can't waste the electricity anymore so much. And then the X-band was introduced about 10 years ago, and it's been a very good addition to medium wave DXing. And the knowledge of technical side, the propagation and the antennas and so, and the receivers, has gone more and more, gone better all the time. And now there are these SDR receivers, which we are going to talk tomorrow. It's another thing. What you need to keep up a club for so long a time? You need volunteers. And of course, you need other resources, money and so on. But you need volunteers, quite many of them. And I'm confident that you need a printed magazine. If you put a magazine to the internet, then it will mean that you will lose members, it's sure. You can maybe put your logins, your QSL information, things like that in the net. But you need articles, you need pictures, you need a magazine like this. You need meetings. Summer meetings are important, also local meetings, and of course the expeditions and so on. And then you need new young members. Where do you get them? we have got some nice guys here. We can see that we have a few young members, but the amount is I'm sorry to say it's small. Anyway, FDXA is 50 years old, and we can all drink to that here in this weekend. Our club has the past, it has the present, and it's got to have the future. And we hope to keep up the club for another 50 years. I'm not going to do that, but someone else may take it. So I'm ready to finish with a big hooray for the Finnish DX Association. Hooray!